Welcome to the Garden Angelus, where we talk about flowers, veggies, and all the best dirt. I'm Carol Michael from Indianapolis, Indiana, where I have a suburban garden measured in square feet. It's less than a third of an acre.
And I'm Dee Nash from Guthrie, Oklahoma, where I garden on several acres out in the country, and I just expanded, which we will talk about.
We call ourselves Garden Angelus because we are evangelists for gardening. We love gardening, and we want others to love it, too.
Yes, we do, and we aren't afraid to spill the beans and tell all of our gardening secrets, the good, the bad, and even the ugly. But that's enough of who, what, when, where, why. Let's move on to this week's episode. Hello, Carol.
Hello, Dee, and guess what's special about this week's episode?
I want everyone to imagine that balloons are falling from the ceiling, confetti is falling down, pretend you have a horn. It is our
100th episode.
Yay! Go woo-hoo, us. We've woo-hoo. Managed to keep it going for 100 episodes. And for all of you who don't know, in podcasting land, that's a big deal.
Yeah, because podcasting isn't as simple as write it, hit publish. There's a little bit more work behind the scenes. But we are happy to be here. On to the next 100.
Yeah, we're really excited, and we have such a good time talking with you guys every week and with each other. And the truth is, y'all, we'd talk to each other anyway because right. We talk about gardening. So this way we just get to share it with all of you.
Exactly. Such fun. So for our 100th episode, Dee, we have added garden updates earlier this summer. What's going on in your garden?
Oh my goodness, girl. We doubled the size of my border that runs outside my kitchen door and across from the garage border. We doubled it. I'm going to pull out more of the Bermuda grass today and use my decomposed shredded leaves as part of the soil for this bed, you know, because it's composty. I didn't haul in soil this time because this area is really sandy. And so I'm just going to get the Bermuda grass out of it. It has good drainage already. So I have all these plants to plant and I got to get it all done before Monday. Good luck.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you talked about all those plants last week that you bought, and I made fun of you. I apologize for making fun of you, but I will do it all over again. You know that.
I know. I know you will. What's happening in your garden?
So I got a burr in my saddle the other day, and I basically did the big switcheroony. So I took out all the summer annuals in the front containers that were all looking pretty crummy. Worn out. Mm-hmm. And I put in the flowering cabbages and lots of pansies and a few ornamental peppers. And so I basically converted from summer to fall on my front porch.
Okay, people in Oklahoma, don't do that yet here. It's still too warm, even though we're having a more normal fall in Oklahoma. I'd wait a week or two.
That's fair. So give them a date.
Well, here's the thing. If you want to plant crotons, which are a tropical plant that just looks like fall, and if you want to get mums that are kind of closed up, but they're going to open, and then you want to replace them one more time, you could do that. You could also get peppers. You know, they have all those ornamental peppers in Oklahoma that people grow.
Yep.
You could do that. But if you're talking about kale and cabbage, gosh, I'd wait until middle of October to do that, personally. And pansies. I'd wait. I usually plant my pansies when I plant my bulbs, unless I just get itchy. And then sometimes I plant my pansies ahead.
Okay. But in Indiana, full speed ahead to fall planting. Because here's the thing. The other morning I woke up, is 46 degrees.
Did you bring in your plants that you said you were going to do last time?
Yes. I brought those in before that morning. And good. So the house plants are safe inside. They look really good. And couple of them I had actually purchased this spring, and they were still in the plastic pots. I got those all potted up.
Wait. You had plants, house plants that were still in their plastic pots?
Did I just confess something bad?
Well, you were busy. You were busy in the garden. That's it.
Yeah. And so I knew I was going to pot them up. And so I thought, I'll just pot them up to take them inside. Because after a while, I got so late, I thought, I'll just pot them up when I bring them inside. They're not there. So, and I was down at the greenhouse, had a nice chat with them, and I'll probably go back because I just go back, get more stuff.
Me too. We're going to do a little trip in the car, people. We are not going to go around people much, but after I get back, I think I'll start doing more. I don't want to do it beforehand. I'm actually, and I was trying to decide if I wanted to take cuttings yet. But anyway, we're going to talk about that later. Go ahead.
All right. So let's do our quote. In the garden, autumn is indeed the crowning glory of the year, bringing us the fruition of months of thought and care and toil. And at no season, save perhaps in daffodil time, do we get such superb color effects as from August to November. That's by Rose G. Kingsley in a book she wrote called The Autumn Garden from 1905.
That's back when we were eloquent about gardening, you know?
Yeah.
That's very eloquent. Yeah. There's no time for eloquent. That now.
We're eloquent.
Yeah, sure we are. I was thinking about gardening books now. They don't have much time to be eloquent. It's all about how to. So we decided, you decided, because you did most of the work this week, you decided that of all the flowers we've talked about on our 99 episodes, what are the one or two that you're still excited about?
So I guess it's probably because I just bought some pansies. But I always tell people that pansies are like the bookends of my gardening year. So I start off running down to the greenhouse at the end of February, beginning of March, and I buy pansies and violas, lots of violas. Mm-hmm. And then now it's like the other end of the season. And what do? I run down to the greenhouse and I buy pansies, and they didn't have any violas. And she told me last year that they only got pansies in because I like to buy them.
Really?
But this year, she's got these beautiful window boxes, and she planted a whole bunch of pansies. So I won't say I cleaned them out, but they didn't have many left when I left.
So in Oklahoma, pansies and violas are very popular in the fall, and they are really popular in the spring both. We often have a long fall season, but like everything in gardening, it all depends on what, you know what I mean? It all depends, which is what...
It all depends.
All the people who decided to garden this year that had never touched a spade are figuring out. It all depends. You can be the best gardener in the world and things happen. So tell me about this variety Frizzle Sizzle.
Well, Frizzle Sizzle, and she had this last year and 2 years ago. But to me, it's a more, I'll say, an old-looking pansy. It's got a lot of coloration. It's got frills along the edges. It's got a nice face. I don't like the pansies that they bred the face out of it, if you know what I mean.
Right, and I kind of don't like pansies with a face, so we're complete opposites on this. But I like Frizzle. I looked up Frizzle Sizzle, and actually they sell these here too. I like them because the face is kind of blurred. It's not so distinct.
Right.
You know, it bleeds into the edges. And I love the ruffled petals. I'm a ruffled petal pansy girl.
So you and I could go buy pansies together and we would not fight over the same pansies, because I would go right to the ones with faces and you would go right to the ones without.
Yes.
And then in the middle, we'd fight over Frizzle Sizzle.
Maybe. Although I love the autumn colors too. I was sitting here thinking about, while you were talking about pansies, I was thinking about what I'm going to do with my pansies this year. I really like the black and orange ones, the Halloweeny ones. They go really well with my Talavera pottery and my pumpkins. So I might do orange and black this year.
Yeah. And I would have done darker colors. And that's a good point. I like real dark colors in the fall, but she didn't have any, but the dark yellows. So I got yellows, orange, and then I have some that are like blue and yellow.
I love blue in the spring. And I also love the, Victorian antique shades that have the ruffles and they have the really pretty pinks. And yeah, I like those too. So, but those don't overwinter very well. See, sometimes here, depending on what kind of weather we have, our pansies can overwinter to the spring.
Our pansies are not going to overwinter. So in the fall, get the dark brooding colors of fall. And then in the spring, get the bright, happy colors.
Okay. That's,
don't even worry
so
about
Carol
overwintering.
Says. So my favorite flower, I think, is the asters, or the plants formerly known as asters or commonly known as asters, Symphyotrichum. I love those.
That's good.
Do I need to say anything else about them? I mean, I love them all. I love Bluebird. Bluebird's my favorite. I write about it all the time. But I went to Bustani Plant Farm this week on Tuesday I think, or Wednesday. Tuesday. And he has like 7 or 8 different kinds of asters, and I own them all. I own Alma, Pachki. I own them all. Nell Foster, all of them. Oh, and I have one aster, which I need to go and find out the botanical name on it. I don't know. It's a spreading aster that hugs the ground. Do you have any of those?
I don't, but I now want one. Thanks a lot, Dee. I don't have all the asters, but thanks a lot. Now I need another plant.
Yeah, well, good. You're welcome. And if I remember next week, I will look and find out what that is, because it's a native, and I bought it from Marilyn Stewart at Wild Things Nursery, I think. Anyway, I'll ask Marilyn about it. So I love asters. I still love roses and daylilies too, but this year I planted Rosa Glauca. Because, and it was kind of a change for me, because usually I try to plant ones that are, you know, very fragrant, have a lot of petal action going on. And in this case, Rosa Glauca has got blue foliage and it has really open red flowers. So it's not my normal type to choose, but I was thinking about pollinators and also more about foliage this year. We'll see how it does. They were tiny plants, but they lived through the summer.
I bet they're going to have beautiful hips.
Yes, it does make beautiful hips. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, it does. So that'll be an interesting piece next to some grasses and a climbing aster I have, which is a North Carolina climbing aster.
The other thing is, you don't think about roses as having fall foliage color, because you think about them getting black spot and the leaves just falling off. So I'm interested to see how that blue foliage changes in the fall.
Yeah, me too, because other roses kind of go yellow if they don't lose their leaves to black spot.
Right.
So even do you have anything else you want to say about flowers?
That I love flowers, and every flower I look at is now my favorite flower. And so it's dangerous to go to the garden center because I buy more flowers. That's all I want to say.
I bought more this week and some grasses, native grasses. So our quote is, for the veggie section, "For man, autumn is a time of harvest, of gathering together. For nature, it is a time of sowing, of scattering abroad." That's by Edwin Way Teal.
And I like that one because it is true when you think about it. We're kind of gathering things in and, you know, spiffing things up and putting things away. And nature's out there throwing seeds around and getting ready to hunker down to spread its flowers all over. Like asters.
Spread its joy.
Spread joy.
Spread its joy. Like asters. Everywhere.
Like asters.
Like asters and a lot of native plants. And some hold onto their seeds so birds can spread them, and then others just blow in the wind, like ragweed. But that's not one we like. So reflecting on our 99 episodes, what main message did we try to get across about growing veggies?
I think the message that we got across to people, I hope, is that even though vegetable gardening can be extremely rewarding because, let's face it, you get food.
Right.
There's also going to be failure in every single garden. So we talk about, hey, it was a good year for tomatoes, or it was a bad year for peppers, or it was a good year for, you know, like for green beans. I'd say because we both chose varieties that didn't do great, we didn't have great green bean years this year.
Not at all. No, mine was not good at all.
But the point is, those things happen in every garden. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have, and we're both extremely knowledgeable. It doesn't matter how much land you have. It doesn't matter how much money you have. If blight's going to strike your tomato plants, it's even going to do it in Martha Stewart's garden.
Right. And the Queen of England has black spot in her rose garden because she doesn't spray. They don't spray. So I said something similar. I read an article this week about how people tried to garden for the very first time this year, and they were totally dismayed that things didn't go well. And I on the one hand, I was a little offended, I'll be honest, because I got this idea. I was surprised that all these people thought gardening was easy. It is not easy. It takes a lot of skill. It's just like anything else you do in life. It's a craft. And you have to become good at the craft, and then things still happen. And so I was thinking about that. But then again, I kind of felt sorry for them, because I think garden communicators, have made it sound like everything's easy, and it's not easy.
No, so, no.
It's hard. It takes work, and you have to try to work in harmony with nature and against it. So last night, we had friends over, and a white-lined sphinx moth was flitting all around us, drinking nectar out of one of the flowers. It was a bat-faced kufia. And we all really enjoyed it because it was just so cute, and it looks like a little hummingbird, but it's not. And I said to my friend, who's also a gardener, I don't really kill any sphinx caterpillars anymore, not even tobacco or tomato hornworms. And she goes, well, what do you do with them? And I said, I just go stick them on one plant and sacrifice one tomato plant to them because I just don't care. And they all said, oh, well, that's very Buddhist of you. And I just laughed and I said, well, I guess. I mean, the truth is I've learned that the longer I garden, the more live and let live I get. And we have red wasps out here, and they eat a lot of caterpillars. So by the time I even see the damage on my tomato plants, I usually have a wasp after them, you know?
Right. Yes. And that point about live and let live, and it's all about finding balance in the garden. You cannot get rid of, like, mosquitoes, for example.
Yeah.
Without killing everything else off.
Right.
Yeah. You can't just go say, I'm going to spray and kill mosquitoes. You'll kill every insect in the garden, and then it will be an unpleasant place. And so it is live and let live. And I'm really letting live right now. Remember I said a couple episodes I had mimosa webworms up in my...
Yes.
Oh, my God.
The hornbeam. Yeah.
No, they're in the honey locust.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey locust. Sorry, wrong tree.
Every time I go out onto the patio now, it's like I've got to wave a stick around to get all the webs out of the way because they just get on me. It's
ugh. That would be pretty gross.
You know, I'm waiting for like the birds to come along and eat all the webworms. So want to make sure the birds know that they're there, and I'm waiting for cold winter to kill them off because I'm not going to spray. I'm just not. There's too much else. There's too much other life that needs to go on in that tree.
But we're also not saying that you can't, like if you have a huge influx of something, that you can't do anything. So this year was a horrible grasshopper year in Oklahoma. I've just never seen so many blasted grasshoppers. And they're huge and they jump everywhere and they get on your, you know, they have stickery feet. I hate them. So if I had been able to get NolaBait, I would have used it, but they ran out. And NolaBait only kills grasshoppers and the occasional cricket who shows up. That's an example of IPM, integrated pest management. And if you guys want to look up more about that, you start with the least harmful thing first. Yes. The least harmful thing is to pick things off, squish aphid eggs, things like that. And then there's just different levels before you go nuclear.
And don't go nuclear. It's just a garden.
Don't go nuclear.
Just
because
don't.
You want birds.
Exactly.
And you want happy lizards. So
exactly.
Anyway, we aren't being preachy, but you just learn to live and let live. You learn about failure, and it's okay. I mean, I didn't starve because I didn't have green beans this year.
Neither did I.
Next year, I'm not going to plant those varieties.
Anyway, yeah, next year, provider is the variety I'm going to plant, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have another quote, which I just like. I found this, I don't know what I was searching for.
Oh, it's just darling. Go ahead.
Come, said the wind to the leaves one day. Come o'er the meadows and we will play. Put on your dresses, scarlet and gold, for summer is gone and the days grow cold. A children's song of the 1880s.
That is really sweet.
I have no idea the tune, but just the idea of the wind saying to the leaves, let's play, and all the leaves turn to scarlet and gold. I just love it.
I love it, too. It's beautiful.
Which has nothing to do with the book we chose for the bookshelf.
No, that has more to do with the vegetable garden.
So we both got a review copy of Edible Spots and Pots by Stacy Hervella, and we like it.
Yeah. We like it a lot. And if you're a brand new gardener and you aren't going to, don't give up that things didn't go well this year. Try again next year. It's okay. And this is all about growing vegetables and herbs. in containers, raised beds, and more is how it's, that's its subtitle. She starts out with containers, very similar to my book in that respect, and then she moves on to bigger containers, which are raised beds. That's just a big container. It all goes in with our philosophy of you don't have to plow up the North 40 or the South 40 to grow a vegetable garden.
Right.
You can do it the easy way. And because we are lazy gardeners, we're all about the easy way.
Yeah, and the book, and if you even, like my sister lived in a condo or whatever, I'm going to loan her this book for inspiration because she grew some tomatoes until she got a tomato hornworm that ate them all.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
She grows a little bit of basil, and I think she would like to do a little bit more. And so I think a book like this would give her a lot of ideas of things that she could try to increase the number of pots that she's willing to do.
Right, exactly. And this year, as everybody who listens knows, I grew all my tomatoes and most of my peppers in pots, and it was wildly successful. In fact, I'm still getting tomatoes from some of my indeterminate plants. And when my friend Karen came over last night, Karen and John, I gave them some tomatoes because I was like, I can't eat any more tomatoes. So I can say right up front, growing tomatoes in pots with drip irrigation was super successful. No fertilization because it was all in the potting soil and it was all organic. And, you know, it was great.
Yeah. So many. I like Stacy's bio on the back of her book. She'd always been a gardener, but she was a senior in college and she realized she should have been pursuing a career in horticulture instead of linguistics.
That's a big change.
Yes. And so she worked as a horticulturalist at Tavern on the Green restaurant, where I'm sure she grew a ton of edible plants. And she was a garden editor at Martha Stewart Living. And now she's currently in marketing for Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs.
Which we love Proven Winners.
Yes.
And we love the shrub section too. Yeah, Stacy's a very nice person and she's got a lot of skills. And so
she does.
People should read her book.
And it's here's good. the other thing that she talks about in the book is, you know, you talk about containers being thrillers, fillers, and spillers. Mm-hmm. And she uses that same focal point with growing the vegetables and the herbs. That same concept.
So, like, she would grow maybe a tomato plant and then put herbs around it.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Right.
Which would be great because attractive. a lot of herbs like to trail. And, yeah, I think it can be attractive. I think that's a great way to grow vegetables. Because I have a potager, and it needs to be I try to keep it attractive all summer. Because it makes me happy when I go out there to snip off the herbs.
Right. And this book has been around a while. This book came out in 2014. But the good news about gardening books, and I think we've shown that, is there's not like yesterday's way to do things. This is very modern and up to date.
You mean they're perennial?
Oh, that's really funny, Dee. Yes. I mean they're perennial.
Yeah, they are.
So here's a thriller, filler, spiller example. So she has eggplant as the thriller. And garlic chives as the filler, and parsley or lovage as the spiller.
Okay, that's all great, except for if you live in Oklahoma, don't plant those garlic chives, because they will take over your whole world.
Well,
I'm still trying to get rid of them 32 years later.
But if they're in a container, you could grow
on
them.
Maybe on a driveway, but they put down seed. Okay, so here's the deal. If you're going to grow garlic chives, cut those seed heads off.
Yeah, okay.
I'm telling you, they're awful here.
They're not that bad here.
Right, because you live in Indiana.
Well, I live in paradise.
Well, I live in, like, aggressive paradise. Some things are very aggressive here. Those are.
Okay.
Are we through with the book yet?
I want to give you one more so that it'll end on a high note, not you chastising me over garlic chives.
Ready? I didn't chastise you. I just said don't plant them.
This one's French. Provence, provenance. The thriller would be French tarragon. The filler would be a lavender. And the spiller would be nasturtium.
Oh,
so that's
very
an
nice.
Herb one.
I like it.
There you go.
Good book.
Edible Spots and Pots by Stacy Hervella. If you want to get better into container gardening, From Containers to Raised Beds, that's a good book to get.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. It's got all the important information. It even tells you how to trellis things, tells you how to water them. It's very good. I like it.
All right. Onward. We have another quote.
Yes. The most regretful people on earth are those who felt the call to creative work, who felt their own creative power restive and uprising, and gave it neither power nor time. That's by Mary Oliver. Wow, that's a really kind of poignant.
It is. And the point of it is, we think of our podcast as a little bit of our creative work, you know, kind of throwing things out to the world. We could simply make life a lot simpler for ourselves by just calling and chatting every week. But by making it a podcast, we're kind of putting it out there and inviting other people into the gardening world. And so I thought that was a good quote. So if you feel compelled to do a podcast or write something or create a beautiful garden in your front yard for your neighbors to see, give that thought, give that idea the time and attention so that you can actually do it. That's kind of the message.
Right, because nobody's good at anything when they first start.
No.
And I would say that's true of podcasting, blogging, writing, speaking, anything you do. I mean, gardening. I've never been instantly good at anything.
No. And I'm reminded of our friend Katie Elzer-Peters. Back when I was on Instagram, because I'm not on Instagram anymore, she started drawing and doing little watercolors. And the first ones, she'll show you, they're not great. But every day she does a little bit more. And the difference from when she started, a few months ago to now, they're very, very good.
They're good.
But you can't say, I'm going to start drawing, for example, and the first day you do something that's worthy to be in a museum. The same with gardening.
I also think with gardening and with painting or any other creative process, you have to look at it as not just a means to an end.
No, it's a process.
So I see a lot of people who garden for vegetables, for example, and or it could work with flowers too. Say they show flowers in a flower show. And so their whole thing is just about getting to that end, whatever the end is. And you're missing out on the process, and there's some real joy to the process.
There is. And there's joy to this process of podcasting. And we've...
Yes.
So we think that gardening is the best thing that would happen to anyone. We are very grateful to our listeners, especially those who have come along since the beginning. But it doesn't matter whether this is the first episode you've listened to or the 100th episode. We love the reviews we've gotten. We get some very touching emails from people that tell us how much they appreciate it. We've had a great time doing these 100 episodes and learned a lot along the way.
Yes. About how to use the technology, how to establish a rapport between us. Although we had a rapport, we're better at it now. And it's also made us explore, because we've read more gardening books this year than we ever have before.
Right.
And just all the things. I mean, different topics and stuff like that. So thank you, everyone, for listening to
us. Yes. And for putting up with sometimes our mistakes, because here's the other thing. You can't really edit a podcast when we said something wrong, or, you know, you can't really go back and edit it. Mm-hmm. It's all part of the process.
Yeah, we try to fix it. But nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect.
So we have a garden commission for our listeners and for ourselves.
Yeah, I made this up because I need it. I need the accountability.
Okay, what are you going
to
do?
So you need to find one area of your garden that needs attention, and you know it needs attention, and you're going to take care of it this coming week. And for me, there is an unplanted area along the east side of my house, outside of my sunroom, just inside the back fence, that has never been successfully planted in all the 23 years that I've been here. And it's like, and it's one of the first places I tried to grow some stuff, and then I moved it away. I'm going to plant that sucker up. I'm going to get it all mulched, and I'm going to make that nice, because it's the first thing you see when you come in the backyard. That's what I'm going to do.
It's also the best part of your, you know, like sunlight, because you're getting morning light there, and everybody... You know, that's the best part.
I know, but I don't understand myself.
Do we understand ourselves? No. Always, no.
I'm going to fix that area, Dee.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to it because we will be planning another episode and I will talk to her. And for me, I'm going to get the area planted that I expanded and extend my drip irrigation there. And I thought I might also do cuttings for the greenhouse this week, but that's not going to happen. It's going to have in 2 weeks.
All right. Well, that's it. We have a commission. So we want to we want to thank everyone for listening to The Garden Angelus. If you like our podcast, please tell your friends about us.
And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, we'd love a 5-star review, and we'd love for you to hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss a single episode.
Yes, and be sure and check out our show notes for links for more information about today's topics, plus links to our own websites.
It was lovely to chat with all of you over the Garden Gate today. Bye until next week.
Bye.